4, Philippians chapter 4. Continue our series here in this epistle. And in our study of this God-breathed epistle written by the Apostle Paul, we have already encountered many powerful and practical truths that have been given to us by God that are designed to help us, we who are believers, grow spiritually. From chapter 1, we were confronted with the reality that believers, those who have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, are not their own. They are the servants of Christ. Paul describes himself as a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ, and he expects all those who are in Christ Jesus to bear that name, to bear that title, that they would see themselves as the servants of Jesus Christ. And in the opening chapter, the Apostle Paul provides us also with an example of how we are to pray and what we are to pray for the church. And Paul tells us that he desires that the church would abound in love yet more and more, and that they may approve things that are excellent, and that they would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Speaking of the church's spiritual maturity, he is praying for the believers' maturity in Christ, that they would be strengthened in the inward man. As you turn the corner to chapter 2, we are urged by Paul to grow in humility. And he urges us to grow in humility by setting forth the greatest example on humility, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, leaving the glories of heaven, made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And so he's exhorting the church to be humble, to grow in this Christian virtue of humility. And then also in chapter 2, we are warned about the poison of murmuring. And we are encouraged to live a joyful, sacrificial life. These truths are practical. These things are on the bottom shelf, if you will, and they are meant for all believers to take them and to apply them to their lives. Chapter 3, we're given an urgent warning of false teachers and instructions on how to run the Christian race. In chapter 4, Paul provides us with the reality that every church faces disharmony within the body at some time. And the proper response to not only the disharmony within the church, but every circumstance that we find ourselves in, is to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, to rejoice, and to let our moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. All these truths are provided for us so that we might walk worthy of the Lord, so that we might be a bright and burning light to this dark generation. And the truths given to us by God in Scripture are practical. They are not distant, cryptic words that only scholars can understand. They are simple, practical, spiritual truths that can be understood from the youngest to the oldest, to the most simple, to the most educated. And that is the glory of the Scripture. It is simple to understand. It is written so that we might not be confused about what God commands of us. This is the wonderful Word of God. It reveals truth regarding every area of life. And that's why we meet this morning, because we want to know, what does God say about everything? What does God's truth have for me this day? You all have faced various circumstances this past week, And as we come to the Word of God provides answers for those circumstances. In our text this morning, we are confronted with another practical subject. And this subject is something that every one of us deals with frequently. It's a subject that mankind has been dealing with since the fall. A subject that the world has no lasting solution for. A subject that reaches within the innermost parts of the soul. And the subject I'm referring to is the subject of anxiety or worry. Mankind has been dealing with this unwanted disease for centuries. For centuries, this world has been providing those who suffer from anxiety nothing more than temporary, shallow, minor little bandages that cover the problem but cannot remove the problem. And it can only provide such a pathetic help because the world resides, communicates, and provides help on a physical level. But God, the truth of Scripture being given by God, provides to us a real cure. It provides to those who suffer from anxiety true life-changing and enduring solutions, because God operates on the spiritual level. He deals with that which influences the physical. Does God deal with the physical? Yes. But He deals with the physical often through the spiritual. The Lord is the doctor of the soul. He is a physician of the heart who provides for us the best help. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. The Lord does provide us with physical helps. He is gracious to give us physical doctors, physical medications, and sometimes physical solutions to some of our problems. But in the realm of the soul, the innermost part of man, He provides something that physical psychiatrists and counselors cannot. God provides us His truth, given to us by His Spirit, that is able to do miracles within the side of a person. Our God is a great physician. He is able to do exceeding above all we ask or think. Our God is a miracle-working God. He is a healer of all sorts of physical and spiritual illnesses. And He alone has the power to do the impossible. Regarding the subject of anxiety, Paul knows that this world suffers from such a difficulty. And thus, Paul serves, in a sense, as a physician's assistant. If God is the great physician, here is Paul, the messenger of God, of this great physician. And he is now serving as the physician's assistant. Say that 10 times fast, if you will. As the physician's assistant, with practical helps for the soul, for those who suffer from anxiety. If you constantly fall into seasons of depression, if you find yourself stressed often, if you're haunted by thoughts of worry regarding the details of the future, then give ear to this text that Paul gives us this morning. Because in this text, you will find comfort and help for your soul. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, "Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a wonderful promise we have here given by the physician of souls. Paul here gives us two things to consider. He wants us to consider the cause and the cure of anxiety. We begin by asking ourselves this question this morning: where does anxiety come from? What is its root cause? We might ask the question, why do I find my heart deeply troubled when the circumstances of life turn ugly? Why is it that often my joy seems to lack and stress and sadness seem to take its place? Well, the first truth I want us to understand this morning is its cause. We must see things as a doctor sees things, and we must get to the root of the problem. Why is it that we suffer from anxiety? Well, we can give the overall doctrinal, theological answer, and it's because we are sinners. We bear the image of Adam, and anxiety is a part of that curse that we face. Because we are possessors of a sin nature, we become worried and stressed and strained and doubtful. But there is something more to this that I want us to understand, and it is this. The cause of anxiety is nothing more than a lack of faith in God. That is anxiety's cause. Anxiety flows from a heart that lacks faith in God's goodness, God's purposes, and God's power. When we become anxious, worried, stressed about anything, we become distrustful in the God who is good, powerful, and has a reason behind everything that He does. To illustrate this further, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, if you will. Matthew chapter 8. We see this pictured in the life of Jesus and His disciples. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when He, Jesus, was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He, Jesus, was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Anxiety. Stress. To say the least. Christ is sleeping, and He saith unto them, notice, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds, the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? What condition do we find the disciples in? A state of anxiety. Anxiety has caused them to doubt. And doubting has caused their anxiety. They are doubting God's goodness, they are doubting God's purposes, and they are doubting God's power. And what does Jesus rebuke? Notice there. He rebukes their faith. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so anxious? O ye of little faith. In other words, Jesus is saying, did you really think that I was going to take a nap and allow you to die? Do you really think that I'm so twisted in my mind that I brought you out here to bury you in the sea? Why are you so anxious, O ye of little faith? Notice the connection about anxiety and faith. In Mark chapter 5, we have another illustration. We have a man named Jairus, a ruler of a synagogue, coming to Jesus and begging Jesus to heal his daughter who is at the point of death. As Jesus walks with Jairus to where the daughter is, one comes out of the house proclaiming, Jairus, stop troubling the master. Your daughter is going to die. And the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, He saith unto Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. If anything was to cause anxiety, surely was this. Here's a loving father who has deep concern for his daughter. And she is at the point of death. And so he runs to Jesus. And he asks Jesus to have mercy on his daughter. And as they are approaching the house, one comes out and says, "Leave him alone, your daughter is going to die." And Jesus says, "Be not afraid. Only believe." Anxiety is nothing more but disbelieving God, doubting His character, questioning His authority, forgetting that God has a purpose behind everything that happens. And it also neglects the truth that He has the power to come to our aid. Now this morning, take your current anxiety, whatever it is, whatever it is that is giving you stress and worries, and ask yourself this: has God forsaken His promise to be with you? What does the Word say? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Has God forsaken His promise to provide for you? Oh, Jesus told us in Matthew that He provides for the birds of the air, and so much more will He provide for us. And what does He say in there? There's a question, "O ye of little faith." Has God forsaken His promise to give wisdom, to protect us, fight for us? So then why then do we become troubled, anxious? It's because we doubt and we lack faith. So the next question is, how then can we overcome anxiety? What is the cure? If a lack of faith is the cause of anxiety, what is its cure? Well, the cure is to increase in our faith in God. The increasing of personal faith comes through prayer. It comes through praying to the God that we know, not theoretically, not just intellectually, but a God that we pray to and that we know intimately and personally. What does the text say? Be careful, be anxious for nothing. Well, the reality of it is that we all suffer from anxiety. We all have things that keep us up at night. We all have things that come pounding on our heart and keep us from sleep. That is a part of the problem. And so what is the cure? Paul tells us, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This is the cure. If we say that the cure for anxiety is prayer, we must understand what true prayer is and what true prayer is not. And true prayer is not repeating meaningless words. Jesus warned us of that. Prayer is not simply saying every time you wake up and go to bed and have a meal, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And you just recite these things meaninglessly. That is not prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul to keep, and angels watching through the night, and I hope I don't have a fright." That's not it, but you get the point. That's not prayer. Prayer is not self-focused self-therapy, as some people would like to make it. And some people say, "Well, I just pray. I talk to God because it helps me feel better. It helps me. And so I just utter words and I hope God will hear them." And that's not prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is pouring your soul before God. Prayer is tuning your heart with His. Prayer is casting all of your cares before Him. As Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. Peter's the fisherman. And Peter is using a fishing term here. A fisherman would take a great net and he would cast it with all of his strength into the water. And so Peter is saying that take all of your care and cast it on the Lord. Don't let any of it stay in the boat. Cast it on the Lord. And David is pulling this also from David, who says in Psalm 55:2, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. How do we cast it on the Lord? We cast our anxiety, we cast our cares on the Lord by praying. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 3. Psalm 3, we have anxiety's cause and cure exemplified in the life of David. This is beautiful. I was not planning to bring this out originally, but in my devotions, in my reading through the Psalms, I came to this psalm and I saw that's it right there. And the beauty of Scripture, the more you read it, the more you see how connected it is, how related the Old Testament is with the New Testament is, because it's a God-breathed book. In Psalm 3, notice here we have David. David fleeing for his life from Absalom, his son, who wants him dead. Little anxiety, maybe? Your child's chasing after you, wanting you dead. Maybe you might be anxious. Notice his word, Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. That's anxiety. There's the stress. David was a human. I'm sure he had his thoughts of worry. I'm sure he wondered how things were going to look in the future. I'm sure he wondered if this may be the end. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. What does he do? What's the cure? I cried unto the Lord. I prayed. I poured out my soul. I cast my burden on the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Don't miss this. Verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Do you see it there? Anxiety, prayer, and what happened? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, kept his heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He laid himself down and slept. How did he do that? Because he cast his care on the Lord. And God was faithful to keep his promise. And there we have it exemplified. David left the matter with God. He turned it completely over to the Lord. Not 98%, and then he held on to. No, Lord, you know the situation. You know the circumstances. You know I'm not desiring this. You know my fears. You know my doubts. You know that I am a man. But I'm giving this to you. Then he laid himself down and slept. And he continued to worship God. He continued to trust God and all that was happening. That is what we see here in Philippians chapter 4. And you've heard the testimony of George Mueller of Bristol, a preacher and an overseer of an orphanage. He oversaw dozens of young children. And there were times in the 1800s, George Mueller was alive, there were times when it was time to eat and there was no food in the house, in the orphanage. And he gathered the children around the table and they prayed. All right, don't you think if you were an overseer of an orphanage and here it is breakfast time and there's no food in the cabinets, you might be a little anxious. What am I going to do? I am caring for the needs of these children and I have nothing. But there's no anxiety in George Mueller if you read his writings. He sits the children around the table and they pray. Lord, you've promised. You told us you would provide for our needs. Lord, we are looking to you and we are asking you to fulfill the promises of your word. And as they prayed, there would often be a knock at the door. And the baker was stirred in his spirit that night. And for whatever reason, he was led to bake some goods and to send them to the orphanage. Mistake? No. But in that testimony of George Mueller, we see how we ought to respond to anxiety. What do we respond? By turning to God, the one who's in control, the one who is over all, the one who is all powerful. And Martin Luther tells us to pray and let God worry. That's what prayer is. Prayer is giving it over to God. You're not worrying. Let God worry about it. We often use this cliche, and sometimes it is so overused that it loses its power. And we need to turn our cares into prayers. And if we do, then and only then, we will know the peace that God gives. And that's the second part of the verse. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. There's no wiggle room for anything because he says nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Be thankful for all things. And how many times in the Scripture it brings that subject of thankfulness to God. Let your requests be known, be made known unto God. And the peace, once you completely give it over to God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He does it for us when we pray. We don't keep our hearts and minds. No, He keeps our hearts and minds. And this reminds us of Isaiah 26:3, doesn't it? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth. There's the element of faith again. Because he trusteth in thee. And we will trust God more the more we come to know him. And we will only come to know him the more we spend time in his word. And don't miss this very important element. George Mueller, we often regard him as a great man of faith and a great man of prayer. But George Mueller was also a great man of the Word. It is said that in his lifetime, he read the Word of God from beginning to end over 100 times. No wonder he was a man of faith. No wonder he was a man of prayer. Because he knew his God. He knew the promises of God to stand on. And so he acted upon. You see, that this isn't some distant thing. God isn't some mystical force. God is a personal, living being that can be united with through prayer. He is a father who cares for his children. So one of the elements with having freedom from our anxiety is not only prayer, but the Word. Source of spiritual strength. The channel that leads us to know God more. Now, the one teaching us this truth is one who's exemplified this truth, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Philippi, to the believers there. And these things that he is teaching were not a theory to him. They were a reality in his life. Don't you like to know about the one teaching truth? You like to know if they've practiced that truth that they're teaching. Consider all that Paul endured. If any one of God's children dealt with anxiety, surely it was Paul. Listen to the following circumstances he suffered. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? Now, Paul knew what it was to deal with stress, anxiety, heartache. We recall the testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That thorn in the flesh. And he desiring God to take it away, and God saying, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul saying that he would rather take pleasure in infirmities so that the power of Christ might rest upon him. Then the context of this letter, Philippians. You remember how the church in Philippi started. The Apostle Paul, Silas, going through Philippi, preaching the gospel, and those in the town hating what Paul has to say. They throw him in jail for doing good. Does he stress? Does he throw in the towel and quit? No, at midnight, there's heard prayer and praise from the lips of Paul and Silas. He is anxious for nothing, but he's living out his words here by prayer and supplication. He's making his request made known unto God. And through that, he is a light to a jailer who is about to commit suicide. I just wonder about that jailer. What's this I'm hearing? Why aren't they complaining? Their feet are fast in the stocks. They're not criminals. They did nothing evil. And they're praying and praising. What is this God that they are worshiping? And so consider the context here. Here's Paul writing this letter. And I'm sure the Philippian jailers in the congregation got a smile on his face. He said, oh yes, Paul's telling us the truth. Let me recount to you that time when they first came to Philippi. And what an example that was to the jailer and to all Christians. Oh, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of our need. Dear Christian, let me ask you this morning, what are you anxious about? This very moment. Are you uneasy about troubling news that a doctor gave you? Are you distressed regarding how God is going to provide for your needs? Are you concerned about a wayward family member? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning anxious and afraid of dying. Perhaps you do not yet know the Lord. And you know that death will come, as it comes to all men. And you are still unsure about your soul's destiny, and this troubles you. Will I be in heaven? Or will I be in hell? And perhaps nobody else knows about this struggle, this inward struggle that you have about being anxious at the thought of dying. And perhaps the Spirit has brought the weight of your sin into your heart and convinced you that if you were to die, you just might face the holy justice of God. Well, if that's you this morning, let this text lead you to faith in Christ. Don't be anxious about death, but by prayer let your requests be known unto God. If this is you anxious about death, go to God in prayer. confessing your unworthiness, confessing your sinfulness, confessing His power to save. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to save you. This is an evangelistic text. This applies to everyone here this morning, to those who are Christian and those who are not yet Christians. We go to God in prayer, asking God to impart life into our empty soul. Don't be anxious. You don't have to be anxious. But by prayer and supplication, go to God who has the power to free you from sin's penalty. And the Bible tells us if you go to God with a broken and contrite spirit, trusting only in the gospel to save, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us peace. Not as the world give it, does He give that peace. But He gives us an eternal, everlasting, inward peace. This world can only offer temporary peace. But Christ offers eternal peace. A peace that lasts beyond this life. Oh, what a great God we have. What are you dealing with, Christian? Oh, go to the Lord this day in prayer. Continue to go to Him throughout the days when troubling circumstances haunt you. When you find yourself stressed, pray. And that's why we have Paul telling the church in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing, because continual prayer is the means by which we are strengthened, the means by which we can stay rejoicing in Christ always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, Jesus says. So keep seeking after God with all your heart. And if you do so, you will find God faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to a subject that is very near and dear to all of our hearts. Lord, You know our thoughts afar off. You know the secrets of our hearts. You know what we are bombarded with on a weekly basis. You know our doubts. You know our worries. You know our concerns. You know what keeps us up at night. I pray, dear God, in this moment, You would allow the Holy Spirit to bring that blessed assurance that only He can give. The assurance that You are a good God. That You have a reason behind everything. And that You have the power and the ability to come to our aid at all times. Oh Lord, we cry out, we believe. But help Thou our unbelief. Lord, strengthen our faith in You this day. We come weary-hearted. We come troubled. And yet Christ told us not to have troubled hearts. That our hearts would not be troubled because we believe in God. We believe in Christ also. And believing in Christ, we remember the promise of eternal life given to us through the Son of God. Oh Lord, would You comfort and strengthen Your people today? Perhaps there's somebody here anxious about the thought of dying. They are still without Christ, and yet they have been brought to this place, confronted with these truths. Father, I pray that You would give them faith. Help them to see that there's nothing that they can do to obtain salvation. Christ has done it all. All they are required to do is repent and to believe the gospel. To believe that Christ has the power to go to God the Father and plead our names. Father, I pray that You would impress these things in our heart. Help us to leave here rejoicing. Help us to leave here with a renewed spirit to commit our cares to prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.